I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form.
By searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Enough of us talking. Let's actually get to somebody who knows what he's talking about. Somebody who dresses better than everybody else and is cooler than any other person on the planet. It's Ron Boone from the Jazz Broadcast, kind enough to join us. Booner, how are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got a question real quickly here. That music that was just playing?
Yeah.
And since you guys think Ron Boone's so cool, so that... Scotty and Hans, were you like cool back when that record was out? Were you considered to be cool when that music was playing?
At no point in any of, at least my life, I don't know about Hans. I mean, when Hans is playing in the NFL, the dude could fall out of bed and be considered cool when you're a professional athlete. But I can say this, at no point in my life has anybody said, that dude's cool. That's never happened, Booner.
I'm sorry.
And I was wearing zoomies that had Warner Brother cartoon characters popping out of the pocket, and I had a half flat top, just redheaded half flat top. So I would say cool was far from
it. Has that song been out that long?
it was bad, Booner. I was not cool at all, man. I know you were though.
Oh, absolutely. Although I can't remember that far back, I guarantee you, I thought I was anyway.
Oh, man. How many points had the three-point line been in college? How many points would you have averaged at Idaho State?
You know what? I was not a three-point shooter. I didn't take a lot of them. Even when we got into the, you know, deep into the ABA, I just... That's a shot that I could shoot it, but I didn't. It wasn't part of my arsenal to the point where I was going to take five or six the ball game. We did have a guy on our team named Glenn Combs who was spread out. Dead. I mean, he could flat out shoot the 3-point shot, but I was not a 3-point shooter. So all those attempts I had was from the 2-point range.
What former player that didn't have the opportunity to take advantage of the 3-point shot would be the best in modern day basketball?
I'm going to give you two guys here. One is the guy I just mentioned in Glenn Combs, who was he played with me with the Utah Stars. As a matter of fact, guys, we were teammates in Dallas, the Dallas Chaparrales. We came here to play the Utah Stars. We played the Utah Stars, and we changed locker rooms right after the ball game. Both of us came to the Utah Stars. We got traded here. But he was a great 3-point shooter, and he ended up tearing his knee up, got a rebound, pivoted to make an outlet pass, and that patella jumped to the side of his knee.
Oh,
and from that point on, his career was gone. And then the other guy was Rick Mount out of Purdue. Those are two guys that were just flat out great 3-point shooters.
The great Ron Boone joins us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, so Booner, everybody, I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of Jazz fans are sitting back waiting for the Jazz to lose to the Celtics, trying to improve the old odds with the lottery balls. And what do the Jazz do? They just find a way to get a W. Just how much fun has this season been for you to sit back and watch these kids that just don't know any better?
They just keep making it interesting, and they play hard. I mean, the margin of wins and losses are just a point or two. You just can't count them out. And some of the lineups that Will puts out there on the floor, you think, okay, where is the scoring coming from? And they find a way to stay in the ball game till marketing comes back in, and all of a sudden you got a ball game that the Jazz are going to have a chance to win. But to me, as a broadcaster, this has been fun, knowing that you know, there's picks involved and there's an opportunity involved here for, you know, for the Jazz to really improve their roster next year, and watching these guys continue to fight. So it's been fun.
So, Booner, as you know, I was a wrestler and a football player, so I love physicality. And one of my favorite aspects of a basketball game is a big man that goes after rebounds, but goes after rebounds like it's the end of it, end of the world. It's his last rebound. And last night, I saw Walker Kessler pull down a rebound, maybe 2 minutes left or so, second chance opportunity. He pulls it down in the middle of three Celtic players, throws some elbows, fires it back out to Lauri Markkanen, who knocks it down for three. And I thought to myself, that is a dog. That dude is a dog. What does it take? What kind of guts or what kind of player does it take to be able to fight through three guys, pull down a rebound, and fire it back out to the perimeter?
Okay, two things come to mind here. One is that he's gotten so much better at rebounding out of his area, meaning going and getting rebounds and not letting it come to him. And I know you guys don't get to the ball game early enough, but from the beginning of the season to this point here, Walker has three guys that are working with him before the ball game, finishing at the rim, pick and rolls, angles on screens, all of these kind of things. And they also have what I call maybe a beat-up session. Gets a rebound, and these guys are pounding on his butt like, you know, he's in a football game with you, you know. And to the point where he's taking care of the basketball, he's throwing his arms around, he's going up strong and trying to finish it at the rim. And that's the reward, I think, from myself and David, get a chance to watch them do that thing, do those things, and work out doing those things, and then see him implement it during the course of the basketball game. And I'm so glad you noticed that, because that's exactly what they're working on him, making him tougher around the basket there and when he gets a rebound.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of times I think people think, especially with rebounding, because you look at some of the greats, that they just had the instinctual ability of knowing, seeing the trajectory, anticipating where the ball is going to go off the rim, and just having that, you know, part of their DNA and knowing how to snag rebounds. And I've always wondered how much you can coach that. I think he certainly has that in his DNA, but a lot of that still can be coached on how to rebound outside your area, correct?
Exactly. A lot of that is just natural for some guys, being able to rebound the basket, knowing where the ball's going to come off the rim and going and get it. Dennis Rodman was probably one of them, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of them, but, you know, everyone's familiar with Dennis Rodman. I think Walker is getting there with those type of things. But, you know, that's a part of the game that they're trying to develop with him. Now, he's 7'1". So rebound has always been pretty easy for him because, for the most part, he's probably been the tallest guy on the floor, whoever he's playing against, and didn't have to go very far to get the rebound. He averaged, what, 8 rebounds in college? I think, yeah, 8 rebounds and 12 points a ball game. And he's much better at it now than he was when he was in college, strictly because of the tutoring that he's been getting here in the NBA. But, you know, there are guys that make a living rebounding, and they just be able to read that ball coming off the rim, and they have a tendency, a way of going to get it.
The second observation that jumped out to me last night, Ron, and outside of his sidestep three that he knocked down, it was a beautiful shot, and his confidence with the ball late in the game in clutch minutes, Ochai Agbaji and his vision and his passing last night really caught my eye. He had a couple of dishes that were gorgeous, on time, perfect rhythm, got his teammates right where they needed to be for a quick score. Talk to me a little bit about just Ochai's court vision, his ability to see the game, and how much how much he's improved and how much he can or needs to improve?
Well, we've seen how much he's improved from the beginning of the year. Now, we really don't know if it's that improvement or if it's being able to play the way he played in college. And this is what Will was telling us, is that he wants Walker to play and be as confident whatever he's doing out there on the floor like he was playing in college. Because when he first started getting playing time, you're playing out there, you don't want to make mistakes. And what he would do, he would run to that three-point line. He would run to that corner. That right corner three, it has been his friend all season long. He has taken 44 of his number of three-point shots to come from that right corner. That's what he would run. And he would wait for the offense to break down or whatever, and they feed him in the corner. He knocks down a three-point shot. Now you're able to see him shooting off the dribble with three-point shots, which is awfully tough to do. You're seeing him drive to the basket. So Will is giving him the green light to play the way he's played in college. And now all of that comes along with being able to see the floor, read the defense, make the correct pass, you know, all those types of things. And you know, all of this, Hans and Scotty, is preparing you for next year. Just let the kid play.
Let him play.
Yep. What's the what is a realistic future for Talen Horton Tucker? Like what do you foresee him being if he continues on the path that he's on right now?
I'm still trying to read him. I like the idea that, boy, he can get to the basket. He's very creative when he gets to the basket. And we're strictly talking offense here. And he's able to get to the basket, but he shoots some low-percentage shots a lot of times. And he's getting better at that. And he's another player that Will is having patience with because he's playing out of position at the point guard. He's never had to make those reads, and he's always been the one receiving, you know, that kind of passes and everything from a teammate. So, giving him some leeway of trying to learn a new position is something that, you know, I'm gonna have to just read and see where he's at and how long it's gonna take him to progress. Last year, he shot 27% from the three-point line. This year, I mean, his career was 27% before starting this season. He's getting a little bit better at that. Now that he's getting a lot of playing time and those open looks that he's getting from the three-point line, getting a chance to get his feet set and maybe shooting some threes. But I think the overall picture of him right now is that letting him play and a point guard position, something he's never had to play. Because you can see sometimes, you know, he's more offensive minded and not reading the defense and getting his teammates involved. Even though his assists and everything has gone up, but that goes along with his minutes have gone up there as well.
Hey, Ron, what is the thought process behind getting Rudy Gay on a court for 17, 18 minutes a night? You know, Saturday night, he goes off and goes 3 of 5 from three and has 9 critical points. And really late in the game, too, when you really needed Rudy Gay from the outside, he hit some big shots. And I love that. But what are they trying to get out of him for 17, 18 minutes? Just what they're trying to get out of him?
Exactly. I mean, you have players out there you're trying to develop. You have players out there that's probably the future of this team. They need rest. You know, they can't play 35, 40 minutes a month. So Rudy Gay comes in, he steps in, and I noticed since Jordan Clarkson's been out that Rudy is starting to be more offensive-minded, starting to really assert himself, and, you know, for the most part, his minutes has gone up a few minutes there as well. You know, you're looking at a guy career-wise as a 35% three-point shooter and averaged 16 points a ball game, had some great years, and you know, with the team that he played for. But you know, everybody's career gets to the point where you start to digress, and so the minutes that he's getting out there, valuable minutes because he can get it going, but he's also giving, you know, some key guys some rest. And if you notice, Scotty, and sometimes he's playing the forward position, and when the Jazz go small, sometimes he put him at the center position there as well, just trying to stretch the floor.
So I thought it was funny how you mentioned that there's three guys out there working with Walker Kessler, and It doesn't seem that long ago that the Jazz had Jerry, Phil, Gordy, and Kenny Natt, and that was about it. Now you've got two or three coaches for each player out there. It's crazy how these staffs and these support guys have just expanded over the last 10-15 years.
It really is, and believe me, I've seen it all, Getting back to the beating that they give Kessler, I mean, those aren't just forearms. These are some padded arms and stuff like that that they put on. I don't know if they have that stuff in football hands, but these sleeves they put on your arm that are kind of air foam-like stuff to where they can, they're not hurting the player, but they're really beating up on them just to make them tough so you don't hurt them. But let's go back to my day, when they had a coach, an assistant coach, and a trainer who was a traveling secretary there as well. Then you fast forward it to maybe Jerry Sloan's era, as a coach, and you're looking at about three coaches, a traveling secretary and a trainer at the same, all together. And thanks to Mark Cuban, I think he was the first one that started these developmental coaches. And this is what you see today, where you got coaches that work with these young guys trying to develop them. They have a lot of money invested in these players. They want them to develop as fast as possible. And then for the most part, it's what we're seeing in Walter Kessler, as Hanson, you guys just brought up. He's trying to develop the guys in an area where you need them the most and where they need to be improved, where they need to improve the most. And so this is where those developmental coaches come in. You can thank Mark Cuban for that. Now the travel squad is huge compared to the travel squad we had back in the day.
So you mentioned Jordan Clarkson being out for a time. I'm curious your thoughts on Colin Sexton, who's now missed 10 games. He hasn't been on the court since, I believe it was the middle of February, the last time he was on the court. So is his hamstring okay? Is this a strategic move? And just your thoughts on Colin Sexton's future with Utah Jazz.
Well, his future is great with the Jazz, I'm sure. Just trying to make sure this hamstring is ready to go. Now, whether or not he's able to get a few games in before the season's over, we just have to wait and see. I've watched him in practice, well, in shoot-arounds anyway, shooting the ball, doing those conditioning drills that they work on, with him. So that point guard position, the Jazz need him. They probably like to have him back out there on the floor, but I think they're going to be careful with him. I've never had a hamstring pull. I don't know if you have hands. I do know that they can be very painful, and you can reoccur. I mean, you could re-pull something like that if you're come back too early. Linemen don't get hamstring pulls, do they?
It takes somebody that has a hamstring to get a hamstring pull. Oh, okay. Booner and I never had one of those.
I'm so sorry.
Never had enough hamstring to pull in the first place.
Hey, as a former player and a guy that's been around the league for as long as you have, what's really, I don't want to say surprised you, but what's really jumped out at you as you watched Will Hardy in his development as a coach in year one?
Patience. Tremendous amount of patience. And then, David and I, sometimes we get a chance to talk to him, quite a bit. And then his knowledge of, what he's saying and how he we can be having a conversation with him. And all of a sudden, a light goes on in my head that, dang, I didn't realize that, that type of thing. But his knowledge of the game at such a young age and the direction I think that he wants certain players to go to, to go with, while he's coaching this team, it's great. And I think the patience is probably the big thing here that I'm seeing. He knows that he has a young team. He knows this team was not built to tear the league up this year. And looking at the future, I think that it looks good. And I think he looks good as a head coach.
Booner, I was going to do a health and welfare check on you, make sure you're okay through all this snow that we've had. Are you doing okay? I know you got to get out on a course soon. Are you able to get out on any courses while you're on the road at all?
I did have one time to you know, where I didn't have to take the Excedrins every day just because I couldn't play golf. And that was our last trip to Orlando. We stayed at one of those hotels, you know, that have golf courses right there.
Oh, yeah.
And so you look out your patio and your window there, and you're looking at, dang, look at that fence. Woo, that's a pretty thing. Oh, but this golf course got a lot of water. So you know what I did, Hans? I went and rented the club, so I played 18 holes.
That's my guy. That's my guy.
Hey, I saw you hopped on Twitter. Were you at the Utah game yesterday?
Absolutely, watching those girls play. And let me tell you guys something. Those girls are physical, man. If they were in the NBA, there would have been 100 fouls called out there last night. But boy, they were. The women's game is called entirely different than what you see in the NBA. I really enjoyed watching those ladies play last night. Now, I watched some of them on TV. I don't know any players' names or anything, but if I'm doing things like if I'm prepping here for a game or something, and I got, you know, I can watch the games. But being that close and seeing how physical, those girls bang each other. And the whistle's not blown. But I really enjoyed the ball game last night.
I'm glad you said it that way. I actually started out the show talking about that Alyssa Peely and what Princeton was doing. They said, we just got to take this girl out. They put three girls on her. They were throwing elbows, beating up her arms, hanging around her neck. Nobody would blow a whistle, but then one of the Princeton girls would get touched, and you put them at the line almost every time. It is called so much different. They really do let them get after it, though.
They really do, and the system that the coach was using up there really played to her strength, you know, because she is a flat-out banger around the basket, drives to the basket. You can't move her, and then she steps out, and she knocks down a three-point shot, and I thought, oh, my goodness, you know. Like I said, I really enjoyed the game, and I sit next to a couple of ladies that were just flat-out, man, I just love them. They're sisters. And they surprised the hell out of me because they knew basketball. Every time a substitution was made, they were telling me what was going on. And then the one lady said this. She talked about Princeton, and she went back to Pete Carroll days, back with Princeton where they would pass it 100 times, and then all of a sudden back door. She went back to that and started talking about that stuff. Now, it pissed me the fact. Now, she had to be my age in order to know those things. And so these ladies were in their late 70s, you know, and they just knew basketball. It was really great just sitting next to them and watching the ball game. They invited me to take the elevator up to the second floor with them, you know. So I wouldn't have to climb those steep steps. The University of Utah needs
really
a new arena. I think you ought to get put a group together of Scott and Hanson and get a new arena up there.
We'll get on it.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Hans got that NFL money.
Yeah, the first thing I could think of to do with any of that NFL money is build a new arena
for Utah. <Yeah. laughs>
I'm going up to Idaho first, Booner. You and I'll take our cash. We'll go up to Idaho.
Let's go to Pocatello.
Yeah.
Get that mini dome fixed up.
Hey, it's always Booner. A pleasure, guys, and I'm glad you got to talk to me today.
Yeah, we are too.
We do too.
It's always our favorite time of the week, for sure.
Okay, Booner, you're the best. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Booner.
All right, guys. See you.
That's the man. I'm glad you got a chance to talk to me.
Yeah, it's my favorite way that he finishes up those interviews. That's some good insight, man.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Some really rich stuff. I did not realize that pregame they're having three guys just smash across Kessler's arms. It does make sense, though.
Yeah.
Because when you're watching his hand strength and his arm strength and his ability to fight through so many people hitting across those arms and trying to strip the basketball, I don't know what his ceiling is, but
it's high.
It's high.
It's really high. All right, Rich is with us. We are live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray once again. Incredible interest rates. Some vehicles you can get as low as 0% financing. You'll work with credit issues. You're going to throw out a free forever warranty. I mean, honestly, it is a no-brainer to come down here and look for your new ride or your used vehicle down here, Rich.
That's true. And for a lot of folks, they have different requirements on how they want that financing set up. Maybe they want to put some money down or a lot of money down. Maybe they don't want payments for 6 months. Maybe they want to do the 0%, but they want to make an arrangement on something else. You know, we can do just about anything here. I haven't been in business as long as we have, and the relationships that we have with the banks and the credit unions and Nissan, there's virtually nothing we can't accomplish financially to make our clients happy.
You've got the selection here and a vehicle, and this is why I love Nissan so much. Like, I've driven a Murano forever. My wife drives a Pathfinder. But my son, we recently got him. It's been a minute, but he's been driving a Sentra. Like, whatever you need a vehicle to do, you can match that with a Nissan because there's so many different models.
That's true. We're one of the largest manufacturers of cars in the world, and we have a beautiful selection of cars. There's 14, 15 different models now, and there's a little bit of something in every different range, whether it's a sedan or an SUV, big SUV, small truck, big truck, EV, hybrid, you name it, we've got something for everybody. And the quality of the build with Nissan has never been better.
Yeah.
You know, it's we're up there with the other companies when it comes to long-term reliability and durability. Nobody tops
it. Oh, it's a great car.
It's a great car.
Yeah.
You know, we're always telling folks, you want to take a trip to the moon? That's 250,000 miles. That's great.
Yeah.
A lot of cars will do that. But will they get you back? The Nissan will.
The Nissan will.
The Nissan will.
It'll get you 300.
That's right. 300, 400, 500. Keep it going. We have people with half a million miles on the machines out there.
I love it.
Yeah.
We'll get down here. Tim Daly, Nissan in Murray, 4528 South State Street. Doesn't matter if you got credit issues. Doesn't matter whatever your situation is. Rich is the magic man. He'll put it together for you.
That's right. Thank you.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He's a former Cougar, a former Indianapolis Colt, an all-around good guy, Hans Olsen.
Right now, I am more buying Slovis than I am selling Slovis, but I am slowly coming along. It feels like a good fit. I do know that he's loving Provo, and I know that he feels like he's a really good fit with this offense, and he likes what he's currently playing in. We've just seen his college career kind of slowly decline since his freshman year at USC. He makes a lot of mistakes, and inside Aaron Roderick's offense, there's a lot of mistakes to be made. So I believe in him, and I'm buying him more than I'm selling him right now. I've got high hopes for him, and I know this, Jake. Keaton Slovis can't carry the bill. This BYU team is going to have a pretty tough season.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hanson Scotting, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is time for Sports Roulette. We take some of the big storylines we've not had a chance to get to. We put on a roulette wheel, we spin it, and wherever that little ball lands, what we end up talking about. It's all brought to you by Salt Lake City Weed Man. That's right, where promises are kept and lawns are green. Go to weedman.com today. let's be honest, every lawn is different, and that means every lawn care regimen needs to be different as well. Mm-hmm. Again, go to weedman.com today.
While you were gone for the NCAA tournament, I had some listeners calling into the integrity of the sports roulette wheel.
What?
I'll have none of it.
No.
It is by chance. We put the headlines up. We spin the wheel. We do not manipulate. Whatever it lands in, that's what we talk about. There are 12 stories on the wheel today. It is a lean day as far as a Monday goes. But there are 12 storylines on the wheel. Who knows where it hits? Scotty and I'll be prepared for each story.
Yes. Much like
that's
Madison doesn't manipulate the brackets, the night movies brackets, we do not manipulate this.
Okay, I will say between the three of us, though, I am current conversations with Maddie to make sure that the mummy does not advance.
Don't you dare.
Well, she's not going to budge. I don't know what you think you're going to be able to pull off.
After all the things that I've tried, all the movies that I've tried to manipulate the polls and manipulate, and she has been nothing but a stone wall. She is a rock of integrity. And so help me, if you get her to help you out, I'm going to be really upset.
The mummy needs to be put out to pasture. You know it. Lloyd knows it.
Let the people talk. Let the people.
We're getting Sanjaya Malakoff right now.
I need your help with that one.
the American Idol that I think Howard Stern like encouraged people to go vote for him, and he shouldn't have won, but I think he won because Howard Stern like encouraged the voting and completely changed the makeup of how American Idol was to progress at that point. You don't remember Sanjaya, though?
No.
Oh, he was great. He was a great talent.
So he should have won, then.
No. He wasn't even good enough to be in the top 20. But I either went on to win it, or I think that American Idol stepped in, and they're like, no, enough of this. Like, Sanjaya's good, but he doesn't deserve to win this thing. And they told Howard Stern to shut his mouth, and then they'll let him come be a judge if he just shut his mouth.
But then he went to America's Got Talent.
Yeah. Yeah, and ruined that. All of those shows are ruined by Howard. All of those shows are ruined by judges now. All of them.
I don't know. Yeah, Paula Abdul couldn't string together a coherent sentence.
But the great thing about that group, they went to him for 5 seconds to be like, Paula, she's like, send her to Vegas. That's it. And then she would put her head back down on the table. And then they go back to the singing portion.
That's a no for me, dog.
That was Randy. And then Simon would say, I don't think you've got it. And then they would go right back to the singing. And they didn't highlight the life of every single participant. They'd roll through 10 different singers. The singers would step up. They'd mess up. And then you'd be like, that guy's dumb. Not, oh, man, he just lost 24 pigs in one day to a lightning strike in Alabama. Oh, I feel so bad for him. Oh, look, he's come in manure boots because he's just poor and his family lost all their pigs. Like, that's what they do now. They try to endear you with dead pigs and things. Drives me nuts, man. Just let it be about the...
You had that coming.
Why? Why
you had
that?
That coming.
Why did I have that coming?
You know, if you even utter the word pig on the radio station, Lloyd's got that drop fired up and ready to go.
Yet we didn't hear it during the entire Frugal Fitness in studio remote.
Oh, he wanted to, though.
Oh, yes, I did. I was like, nope, not going to do it.
No. Jake would be none too happy about that.
I feel like, you know what, we're going to be breaking that out the next time he comes.
Nah, we shouldn't.
No, I feel like we got a really... I wasn't quite sure about our relationship with him. Now I know where we stand with him. He likes it.
Let's keep him professional. Actually, on his way out, Jake said, I do appreciate your professionalism. Thank you for not messing around with dumb drops. Pretty sure you said that.
I'm pretty sure I did not hear
that. Well, then you weren't there when he said it, because he was serious about it.
All right, let's get to it. Lloyd, fire up the old wheel of integrity.
Maybe he meant to say, truck this one up.
Drew Timmy, the stud of the Gonzaga men's basketball team has a potty mouth. Here he is in his post-game interview after beating TCU.
Well, you know, before they announced our starting lineup at home, I was like, in seven straight Sweet 16s, I'm like, we cannot be the team that this one up. So just to get it done and not fall under that Hypnotoads Genjutsu or whatever it is feels good, man. But they're a hell of a team.
He slipped it in so subtly. I think even the interviewer didn't flinch. He was like just sitting there smiling at him, and
yeah.
He slipped it by. Whoever's back there running the booth, they're probably like, did he? I'm sorry. Did he say we're not the ones to mess this up? Or did he say that? And it got by him.
You
got to
be smart. There was another player, and I didn't catch who it was, but Jamie Erdahl was the sideline person interviewing him, and he dropped the S word in a post-game interview and immediately apologized and goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And she goes, we're on True TV. Don't worry about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, this one was on TNT, wasn't it, Lloyd? I'm trying to remember. I think it was
on
TNT.
Yeah, I believe it was.
I watched most of that game. It was pretty good. I watched the St. Mary's game. I watched St. Mary's get blown off the court, too. But Gonzaga stood pretty strong. Drew Timmy's good, though.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they're really good.
He's averaging 22 points a game and 7.5 rebounds. Now they take on UCLA. Jeez, they got UCLA in the Sweet 16. Who comes out of that one? Gonzaga, UCLA?
Gonzaga.
That's going to be a really good game.
Yeah.
We got some good Sweet 16 matchups that are going to be going down on Thursday.
By the way, Lloyd, I just sent that to you. Actually, I sent it via text, which is not helpful to you at all. Sorry.
Yes, let me play it from my phone.
That's my bad.
Oh, it worked.
No. Anyway.
Just play it off your phone and stick it up the mic. We do that sometimes.
No, because it actually has the swear word on it.
Oh, this is the one, the True TV one?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It's like, that's all right. We're on True TV.
What happens with the F word that slips by like that? Do you pay a fine?
You could. I think people are fairly forgiving when it comes to live sports. If it's premeditated, you get in a little bit of trouble. But, no, I think everybody just kind of rolls their eyes and says, okay, come on, be a little quicker on the old dump button.
I'll bet Mark Few sits him for that Sweet 16 game.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
To teach him a lesson.
It's like, Timmy?
Yeah.
Drew, we don't do this.
Trying to raise men in this program.
Come on. No,
nobody
you're
is more thankful
this.
That they're looser with sports than Scotty G.
And Mr. Timmy's over there like, okay, so I said the F word, you were a drunk driver.
You're wasted.
Should we want to compare the two?
How is that as a head coach, I wonder?
Yeah, he's like, we got to be disciplined in our lives. We can't blah, blah, blah. And it's like, whatever, you blew a .24. Like,
and you're
really?
Just looking at him like.
Really? You're gonna try to get after me for that?
You kids got to make good decisions. You are one decision away from a complete disaster. Coach?
Yeah,
coach.
But if he prefaces it, hey, don't do what I did.
Yeah, I guess that might work. I do that as a dad all the time. Now, kids, I know that I do this often, but that's not what you're supposed to do.
I mean, when my youngest reaches over for that extra slice of pizza, I'm like, come on, is that really the right thing to do? And he's looking at me like, you are right. I learned from watching you.
You even pick off the veggies. Well, it's because I don't want vegetables on my pizza.
Yeah. Well, shoot. He's got me there. All right, we'll wrap this thing up. Hands of Scotty, get you ready for Unrivaled next. 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports app.
I love it.
Where you can listen to The Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming The Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports app. Available now wherever you shop for apps. Locked On to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chick.
That's right. Yeah.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, live here at Tim Daly Nissan in Murray. Hans, what do you think? Titan of the weekend? Alyssa Peely?
Oh, no question. No question it goes to Alyssa Peely. She is an incredible athlete. I'm not even going to say the best women's basketball player I've ever seen. I'm just saying all-around athlete. With just strength, size, mobility, she is incredible. You could throw in Trey Woodbury,
yep.
What he did for UVU, but I'd say Alyssa Peely is more of that Utah basketball team than Trey Woodbury is that UVU basketball team.
That is our Titan of the Weekend, brought to you by Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, home of the auto warranty that does not quit. It's endless, it's perpetual, it is forever.
Well, Scotty, it looks like a nice spring day out there, bud.
First day of spring, and looking like it's...
I'm going to grab the clubs, maybe go hit 18.
This year, man.
This is as much snow coming down as I've seen. We're in Murray here at Tim Daly, and it is as heavy snow as I've seen in a long time. It's starting to stick now here in Murray, and I'm sure this is really going to help our commute. Maybe we should just go catch a break of paradise and let this storm blow over.
Turned over new leaf.
Not now.
No.
Not like this.
Not like this. Come on, you say you haven't, but you've been pretty strict.
Yeah, I know. I've got to shape up, man. I feel like... I'm going to be joining Lloyd on the Beatus train if I don't.
You stop. We need to let some things go around here, okay?
Oh, really? Like you've been known to let things go.
I do.
For those of you that don't know, Lloyd lied about having Beatus so that he didn't have to eat a cupcake.
Somebody offered him a cupcake instead of saying, no, thank you. I appreciate the offer, but no, I'm not going to eat your cupcake. He's like, I got diabetes. I can't. Thanks for shaming me in my illness at this time.
He said, my expenses on insulin would skyrocket if I eat that cupcake. You know it. I know it. Jeez, man.
I need you guys
to even
stop.
He even brought out the insulin.
Until Congress enacts some level of a cap on insulin prices.
I'll never eat a cupcake again.
Yeah.
It was a strange way to go about it.
I mean, I get it. I mean, I understand it, but...
I immediately regretted it, and I apologize for doing that. And I apologize to her for even saying that.
Yeah.
As you should.
Well, Rich is joining us right now, and Rich, you know what? We think it's supposed to be the first day of spring today, and you just came out of the snow, man.
Come in and get your four-wheel drive.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's a good reminder of this crazy winter that we've had and that you need all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive to get through it.
That's how we roll here in Utah, and that's the best way to go. And I've got 100, 200, probably 250 all-wheel drive vehicles here. And you name the type you want, whether it's SUV, sedan, truck, big SUV, small SUV. We got them all, and they're all deals.
Love it.
We're trying to reduce inventory because with all the winter cars that we still have here, they need to go. You're going to get a deal and a half.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. Like, if people are dealing, like, life comes at you pretty quick, you know, and people deal with life issues. They're upside down in the vehicle or they have credit issues and they're thinking, there's no way I can get into a vehicle that I actually like to drive. And that's not the case. You can help them out here.
That's correct. Number one, I have the selection.
Yeah.
Here to get something. Maybe a lower price that's got decent miles on it, that's in fantastic shape, that you can keep for another 10 years if you like, at a reduced price that's affordable for your monthly payment. And really, for most of our clients, that's what it's all about. A lot of our clients want to pay cash. That's fine. We can work with that too. But trying to get a low monthly payment is usually premier requirement for most of our clients. We meet that
all the time. It's what we do.
Get down here, Tim Daly, Nissan in Murray. You include the forever warranty on every new vehicle and about 98% of your used inventory as well. And that's just peace of mind that you're just handing out for free, Rich.
That's right. You know, and that means you have access if something goes wrong to my staff here at this store, at our 13 other stores that we have.
Yeah.
Of course, the number one out of the 14 would be the Murray store.
just throwing that out there.
Just saying.
Everybody else out there listening.
From Rich to everybody, come see me.
Tim Daly, Nissan and Murray, you're the best, man. We appreciate
Thanks, Rich.
It.
Thank you.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.